in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Welcome back, church, to the church building. Amen? It's good to be back in the building together with you worshiping. You know, church didn't stop. You know that, right? We just stopped meeting in a building. We continued to worship together, but it's so good when we are together as one. Amen? It's so good, so good. I have missed you very much. I missed you very much. It's so good to have people in the church today. You know how weird it is to preach to a camera and just pretend that's people out there? I know there's people out there. I appreciate you joining us today. We're going to keep doing this forever. And I'm so thankful, but it's good to have people in the house of God, man. If you weren't here in the beginning when I made announcements and welcomed us, first off, you were late. Second off, right? You can't be late. We're going to start right on time every time. So, we're going to keep filling this. This is great. A great turnout today. Wonderful to have you in here. But, man, if we get full and you come late, we're going to miss you. And you'll have to come back next week, so or the following service. But I wanted to say it was so good to have you here today. So good, so good. And we're going to continue our Unmasked series. That's this theme today. Did you come ready for the Word of God? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. All right, y'all said it. Y'all be ready. Here's the Unmasked definition. To expose the truth and true character. This month, we will be hitting sin and evil head on and exposing it to the light of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 14. If you didn't bring your Bible to church today, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. It's a good place to bring it to. But if you do not have it, feel free to grab a Bible in front of you. That's the NLT version. I'll be reading from a couple different versions today, but I want to encourage you to join us. Write notes if you want to, or if you want to, this is being recorded, and you can go back and write notes later. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says this: have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I've titled today's sermon, The Gospel. Now, I know many of us would love to expose the truth and true character of what's behind COVID-19, right? Is it control from the government? Is it control from our world? Is it control from the devil? Is it really a pandemic? Is it as bad as they report it is? Who's really behind this disease? Also, I know that a lot of us would like to expose the injustice, hate, and racism and evil that is going on right now in the United States of America. But God reminded me of this. We so often want to look at the issues around us that we forget God wants for us to look within us first. See, it's so wonderful to get back into the building of the church to worship together. When I was preparing this week, God gave me a message for us that brings us back to the foundation in all that we believe as Christians. COVID-19 gave us time to stop, right? And listen to his voice and the noise of the busy world as it lessened. I want to encourage you, church, if you did not come back, right? It's been about 3 months since we've been together. If you came in this church building the same person that you were before COVID-19, get on your knees and ask for forgiveness and say, God, I did not take advantage of this time in my life where you calmed everything down. You took away all my priorities, all my plans, and you just squashed it. And you gave me an opportunity to seek your face, because remember, his voice is still and small and you can't hear it in the noise of the world. But if you came back changed, that's what we must do. We cannot be the same, church. We cannot be the same. If you came in the same, want to be the same, you're going to get the same results. Why isn't the world changing? Because you didn't change first. That's why. See, this morning, as we finally have come together again physically, The Lord wants us to stop again and strip it all away. Strip it all away to hear the simple, pure gospel message of salvation. And we're going to unmask the Christian American gospel. When I look around, man, wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit just dropped this Holy Ghost bomb on it all? Wouldn't that be amazing? That peace and love would take over our land and that God would destroy evil and bring unity and love to all situations. Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be so nice. But you know what? It'd mean nothing. It would mean absolutely nothing if people were not changed within. Because it would just go back to the way it was in just a matter of time if people are not changed within. If a situation changes and circumstances improve, nothing will be better for any substantial amount of time if hearts are not changed. There's only one thing that changes a human heart. It's the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's unmask the Christian American gospel today. Are you ready, church? Five people ready. Hallelujah. Y'all remember this is a Pentecostal church, right? Amen, amen. Come on. Y'all on Facebook or whatever, and you're amening, but then you come in here and you're like, what, do you need to amen me? You want to send me a text? Amen, Pastor. Amen. Come on now. I know that you're probably not wearing stretchy pants or sweatpants today. Congratulations. You dusted off the real clothes, the regular clothes. Some of y'all thought, man, I think it shrunk. It sat in my closet so long, it got smaller. No, it did not. Snacks got better. Maybe somebody in here is still wearing stretchy pants or sweatpants. And I, just like last night, I want to say, congratulations, you're keeping the streak going. Wonderful. Keep on trucking. You got this. We're going to mask the Christian American gospel today. A man named Christian Smith said this, quote, what we're seeing now in these days is a rise of moralistic, therapeutic deism, end quote. Christian America seems to be all about how to make people moral and giving them a place to feel better about themselves. And there's this attitude of selfishness and selfish gain. And the result is we are seeing a church in America that has become Christless. America has been searching and teaching this gospel that is all about us and what we do. We have missed Jesus' words completely. Just because you're raised Christian does not mean you are a Christian. You have to have a supernatural rebirth. When you come in contact with Jesus, everything changes. Your mind and your heart, they change. See, for years, preachers have been teaching the Bible, but they have not been teaching the gospel in the Bible. They forgot to teach the good news of Jesus, and instead they've taught us to be zealous, passionate, hard-working, radical Christians. And you know what the Bible calls that? They call that being a Pharisee. Now, y'all said you're ready for the word. American churches put too much emphasis on things Jesus didn't put emphasis on. First off, if you're statements of faith and your doctrines go beyond God's word, you have now become a Pharisee. See, is Jesus the center or is he not the center? Has the main emphasis been about what we can do and what we should not do? This message that is taught or understood asks this question. What have you done lately to earn God's favor? Do you tithe enough? Are you morally making good decisions? Have you laid hands on somebody? Maybe not during COVID-19. This message. Are you praying for other people? Is your bank account big enough? Are you without sickness? Are you without disease? Are you speaking in other tongues? And if not, you must not be a believer. See, when you think about Christianity, do you think about Christ or do you think about Christian moralism? Are you thinking moral values or are you thinking King Jesus? See, one of the biggest mistakes people believe about Christianity is it's some sort of moral betterment program. It's all about being good, right? It's all about being better. It's all about doing better. It's all about selfish gain, what we can get from Jesus. But that is not what the Bible teaches, church. Preaching morality is the right thing to do. It is. But moralistic preaching is preaching the morals of Scripture and nothing else. In simple terms, preaching that if you're a good person, God will love you for that. See, that's not even a sub-Christian message. See, if that's all that's preached, it's actually an anti-Christian message. The unrealistic goal that people are preaching right now about being good is a goal that not anybody, no one, zero people, will ever be able to obtain. See, these messages that have been preached send people to hell. Either by their own pride because they think they're good enough to get into heaven, or they're going to hell because of their own despair. The one that thinks they can obtain being a good person, right? I'm a good person. I have a good heart. I have good intentions. The Bible calls you a Pharisee. You can work, and you can work, and you can grind, and you can work, and you can grind, and you can work, and you can keep striving and going. You can keep trying to earn salvation by trying to be a good person, but you've missed the gospel completely. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not the American dream. It's not about trying harder and working harder and achieving the goal that you now have God's approval because you're successful and you have succeeded. See, when in the Bible does it say salvation and blessings and favor are given because of your own merits? Now, I want to take a pause and I want to jump to a side note here real quick. Okay? I want to talk about another American gospel teaching today that's sending people to hell. Sadly, for the last 40 years or so, we've seen what many have called the American charismatic circus. The name it, claim it. The prosperity message. The greasy grace. It's all about me and what I can do and what I can receive from Christianity. See, what this teaching is, and I said this last time, I'll say it again, you must be careful who you're watching and listening to. It says, even in the last days, it's possible that the very elite, the elect, can be deceived. Here's what the prosperity message says, this teaching that God wishes all his followers to be materially wealthy, free from suffering, free from sickness, and that if any unmet need exists, then that person must lack faith. Let me tell you what it gets you. Big hair, big mansions, self-motivating, self-promoting messages, money embezzlement, sex scandals, swindlers, fake fundraisers. That's what it gets. This is the selling of a fake gospel, and it silenced the Spirit of God in our nation, and it silenced the Spirit of God in our churches. Do I believe in healing? Absolutely. Do I believe that God wants to give you favor and merit? Yes. But you have missed the gospel. It's not for your gain. If you're rich or you have stuff because you earned it somehow, you forgot the story of the talents. If you can't be faithful with little, God's not going to give you much. And if you have much and you're not faithful with it, he's going to give you little. If you think it's all about you, you've missed the gospel. If you're coming to Jesus for money, and you're coming to Jesus for things to possess, then Jesus is not your God. Money and things are your God. Man, I want to say some names right now, some preachers, really bad. Let me just tell you this. They got a lot of plastic surgery, and they have jet airplanes. And they got massive churches because they're tickling ears. And many of you I know personally watch and listen to them because they uplift you, but they're not giving you the gospel of Jesus. Did Jesus say that you were going to join him in his suffering? Then what makes you think that you need to be, your bank account has to be massive and that you're never going to go through hard things? So many gospel preachers right now in America are ripping pages out of this and just highlighting all the good stuff. And they just smile into the camera. Right? Hey, I'm going to anoint this today. And for $50, you can have this and you will be anointed as well. Right? And if I touch this and pray, then you're going to get healing in your body. Who are you? You are not Jesus. And I'm ready to preach today. Y'all came back to church, amen? Let me say this. God is not the supporting actor in your life. We are in his cast, in his unfolding story of redemption. The American gospel teaches the Bible. The American gospel teaches the Bible as if the man is the hero. Right? How many people put themselves in David's shoes? David did it in God's strength, right? See, this message, prosperity, greasy grace, name it, claim it, has sent many to hell as they believe in a fake Jesus, a fake gospel, and a fake salvation. Many are reading the Bible completely wrong. The Bible is constantly teaching us to take our eyes off of us and fix them on a God who is able. When do we become so narcissistic? Now, I'm preaching to Americans. Anybody watching this outside America, you probably have no clue what we're talking about. But every American, this is everything about us. It is ingrained in everything about us. It's all about us. All the time. All the time. Lord, unmask our hearts and give us strength to repent and see the truth. I want to read you a story in the Bible. If you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 19, please. Now, this is a story many of you probably know. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you today. No one has touched that for at least 14, 15 hours, so you should be fine. Okay? We wipe down everything, keep you safe. Matthew chapter 19. Many of you have heard this story over and over again, but we're going to highlight something that maybe we've overlooked before. I'm going to read out of the NIV. I'm going to start in verse 16. I'm going to read through verse 22. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All of these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. I want you to notice what the young man says. "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" See, that sounds like a great question, doesn't it? But we miss the massive, prideful statement and mistake. Many of us do this exact same thing when we talk to God. "Jesus, what must I do?" See, it's already about our performance. It's already about our self-focus. Jesus responds with, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Then Jesus says, you know the commandments, and he lists a portion of the Ten Commandments. Then the man says back, all of these I have kept since I was a young boy. Jesus said, only God is good. But this man responds like many of us do and says back to Jesus, well, I'm good too. Look what I've done and look what I've not done. I didn't do what they did. We often overlook this issue in the story, but the rich young ruler gives himself the same status and the same stature of God, and that is pure pride. Commandment one, you shall not have any other gods before me. Here's another commandment. Do not worship false idols. Jesus said back to the young man, okay, sell everything you have. But the young man, he could not do that. It was right there, and then he realized he's not good like God is good. See, we see here that only God is good, and God defines the definition of good. If I asked you this question, of course, before I started preaching, are you a good person? Many of you would have said, yeah, I believe I am. I believe I am a good person. But only God is good. Have you ever lied before, church? Have you ever stole something before? Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever lusted before? See, you don't take the law and try to fix yourself with it. We should see God's law and we should say, Father, there is nothing I could ever do to meet that law. I am broken. I need you. I need you. There's something wrong in me. See, the great issue here is God is holy and God is just, and man is not holy and man is not just. We constantly compare ourselves to others, don't we? And we say this, well, I'm not as bad as they are. Or at least I didn't do that. Or at least I used to do that, and now I just do a little bit of that. But that's a lie. And you now have the American gospel mindset. We are to compare ourselves to Christ only, who is holy, who is lovely, who is perfect, who is just, and who is right. We together need to unmask our hearts and take a good look at Jesus again. Amen, church? Our problem with sin goes far beyond our actions. It goes to us as a person. We have the nature of sin. This is our essence. Our hearts are predisposed to love everything else but God. We are born into sin. We love self more than God. We love wrong more than right. Jeremiah 17:9, everyone's favorite verse. I mean, somebody got a tattoo of it right now, I'm sure. Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Romans 5:10, the Bible reminds us that we are natural enemies of God because of our sin. So how do we fix a broken part of our heart that naturally loves to do the wrong things? How do we do that? Because the Bible says we are dead in our sin, Ephesians 2:1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. See, to be dead in sin means that you are physically alive, but we are morally unable to respond to God. Romans 3:10-11 says, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. The real gospel of Jesus addresses more than just what we do. The real gospel in God's word addresses more than just our behavior. The real gospel of Jesus talks to us more about what's in our life other than just what we can gain from knowing Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ addresses who we are. The gospel promises to change us at the core of who we are. John 3:7. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. If life is just about performance and trying to be good, we'll never achieve being completely holy, which is the only definition of good in God's eyes. And if we're left with that, we will all be in despair. Now, who's been going to church longer than 15 years? Who's known Jesus longer than 15 years? Raise your hand. All right, I want to talk to you right now. I want to talk to you right now. What happens is we get this mindset of an American works gospel. And what it does is it causes us to feel like we're walking on eggshells all the time. Feels like we're never going to perform enough. And at any moment, we're going to be fearful that we're going to die and we're going to go to hell. See, that's what many people have grown up in church, why they have left the church. Many have become atheists because they feel like they cannot do enough to please God anyway, so why even try? This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not the gospel in the Bible. When you do fail, because you will, many of you have failed multiple times today. But when you do fail, and when you believe salvation and grace is only achieved by deeds and behaviors, we are all left hopeless. We feel like we didn't try hard enough. People are left with relying on their own pride or falling into their own despair. This is why we must unmask the American gospel of works and reveal the biblical gospel. The gospel comes in the middle of both of these things. See, the gospel comes in the middle of your pride, in the middle of your despair. And it says, yeah, you're right. You will never be good. You never will be good, never. No matter what you do, you will never be good. But Jesus was good for you. How can a sinful man be justified to God that demands that because of our sin, we need to be punished? Well, the answer is found in the person of Jesus Christ. God intervening into human history. This Jesus of Nazareth, he lived a perfect life. He's what God calls good. And he did something you and myself could never do and could never accomplish. He lived a sin-free life. Then Jesus goes on a cross for us because we owe a debt to God for our sin, and that debt was to offer eternal punishment. But God took our place on a cross and bore our sin and suffered the wrath of God that we deserved. He extinguished sin, he extinguished death, he extinguished the wrath on the cross. And then on the third day, he rose again. Then he ascended into heaven 40 days later. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, now sits at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible teaches us this in John 14:6. Jesus told them, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, there's only one God. And only one mediator between God and man. And his name is Jesus Christ. And if you repent and you put your trust alone in Jesus as your Savior, God will forgive your sins, he'll dismiss your case, and grant you everlasting life with him in heaven. This is a gift. Not because you are good, but because he is good, and he is rich in mercy. The defining doctrine of the true biblical gospel of Christianity is this: justification in faith alone, in Christ alone. What is justification? It's God declaring us righteous even though we are guilty. You come, you bring your filthy rags, and he clothes you with his righteousness. It is the act of being declared righteous in the sight of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Getting to heaven is not based on what you do. It is only based on what Christ has done. Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the work has been done. He saves you totally and completely and perfectly. Yes, when you sin, okay, look at me, church. I'm looking right at you. The Holy Ghost knows what's up. Don't you be hiding. When you sin, you must repent. Yes, every day. Yes, every time and everything you can remember. Absolutely repent and ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to give you strength to turn it around and never do it again. But you must also remember the sacrifice of Christ. He paid for those sins. There's assurance that He has saved you. He's plucked you out of the world and He's placed you in the palm of His hand. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, and it's for the glory of God alone. Acts 15:11. We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of our Lord Jesus. The gospel doesn't say that Jesus came to make salvation possible for those who do their part. Jesus came to accomplish salvation and give it freely to all who believe in Him. Now, I know some of you, I can feel it. Some of y'all are just thinking something right now. Well, Pastor, how do we know faith is real if there isn't any works? Now, I know y'all thinking that. Come on now. Especially the men's ministry. James, I got you. Doesn't the Bible say in James chapter 2, verse 26, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also? Faith without works is dead, Pastor. So don't you have to do works to be saved? Let's unmask the unbiblical teaching and expose the biblical teaching. Here's what an American works gospel tells you about salvation. Faith plus works equals salvation. The unbiblical teaching takes the works and it puts it at the roots. It says that works plus Jesus equals salvation. But the biblical teaching says this: faith equals salvation plus works. Works is not the root, it's the fruit. Your faith alone in Jesus is what saves you. Then a life that has been saved and a regenerated heart and you're born again, it's going to produce the fruit of good works. So you're going to know a person is saved because of their good works. But their works is not the reason why they are saved. The true Christian is the only person that can say they are going to heaven without being self-righteous. Why? How do you get to heaven in other religions? Tell me. Works? Somebody's listening? Amen. Anybody else? Sacrifice? Following all the rules. Right? You're going to gain enlightenment when you get to this spot, when you do this many meditations. You're going to get this many virgins if you blow yourself up. Right? You need to marry this many women to be following this rule or this law. Or if you bow yourself seven times toward the east every day, then maybe this will happen, right? If you go out and, I'm just going to go there. And you wear white and you get on a bicycle and you tell enough people, you might be the 144,000 that actually make it in. The reason why Christianity is the only religion that can say they're going to heaven without being self-righteous is because in Christianity, You're not reconciled to God through your own virtue or your own merit. You are reconciled to God through the virtue and merit of his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, and it's for the glory of God alone. Brent, will you come up, please? We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. All right, Vernie, you ready to earn your money? I'm gonna double your pay. He gets paid zero. Hallelujah. I'm gonna triple it, actually. You're a good man. Appreciate you. I'm gonna move, buddy. I'm gonna move. I'm gonna read some scripture to you found in Romans 10. But first I want to talk to you about something. I believe this message is for all people, saved, unsaved. If you have not accepted Christ into your life, I'm about to read some scripture to you of what the Bible says and how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and anybody out there as well. Please feel free to reach out afterwards if this is the first time you'll accept Christ. But I also want to talk to my believers who've been believing for a long time, and unfortunately, we've been listening to a gospel that doesn't exist in the Bible. It's all about what you do, what you can achieve. Now I'm saying this as the pastor who needs way more volunteers than we ever have. There are people that sit in pews for 30, 40, 50 years and die and never did anything in church. And that's wrong. You're missing out. You've missed what God has given you an opportunity in. But that's not what's going to make you saved. I'm not saying you're going to hell because of it, because that's not the gospel. What I'm saying is you've missed out on giving back what Jesus gave. But what I am saying this is there's two things right now that is taught all over the world, and it started in America. It's this works mentality that we actually gained from the Roman Catholic religion. It's all about these sacraments and doing this and that and this and that and this and that. And things have been weeded out long enough, but we've almost reverted back to things that we've been taught that we actually went, like Martin Luther and other people said, wait, this is wrong. This is not what's taught. What is going on? This is not true. Right? And other Reformation preachers that have fought hard for, but it feels like we're going back. And many of you have felt condemned in your life because you haven't done enough. You know, you haven't pleased God enough. He will never, look at me, church. He will never, God will never love you more than he does right now. No matter what you do, no matter how much you follow him, no matter if you sell everything and move to Malaysia, he will love you the most right now. When you accepted Christ, it was right then and there. You were reconciled back to him. Now he desires more of you. He wants to trust you with little so he can give you much. But if you're going to hold that much and think it's because you did something great, then you've missed it completely. You've allowed pride in your heart. Pride is from the devil. We should be thankful that today you even wearing shoes. You know how many people in this world don't own a pair of shoes? We have air conditioning. We have lights. We got food to go to. Y'all got some masks to wear. You know how many people in other countries don't have masks and they're catching this all over, or things are happening, or they're catching other diseases and they're dying because they don't have it? And we have it at the click of Amazon. Because we think we deserve it? The Bible doesn't teach this. America teaches this. If Jesus today said to you, sell everything you have, give up everything, and you're going to suffer over and over again, you might even have what Paul said, where he had a thorn in his flesh the entire life. Maybe you'll have a sickness or an ailment forever. Will you still serve Jesus? Or you think, oh, I'm sorry, the prosperity guy on TV told me that I should never have sickness, I should never suffer, I should have an amazing bank account, I should have a three-bedroom, two-bath house with a picket fence and a dog and children. And What does the Bible say about that? That's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. You follow him. He gave everything, so when you give him your heart, you give him everything after. He gave all of his life so you can give the rest of yours, even if it doesn't look like the American dream. God is good, and God is good always. God is good when you go through your sufferings. And he even says, and he reminds us, one of the hardest verses to read in the Bible, consider all your trials joy. Right? I never heard prosperity guys say anything about that verse. Greasy grace, nothing. Jesus said in his word that you will have trials. It's going to be hard. He says, join me in my suffering. He says, you're going to be hated because you know him. Right? Not you come to Jesus and you get a facelift. Father, unmask the lies of the enemy. I'm not even going to give this to the enemy, right? We're unmasking this. I know the devil's behind all sin, but we're actually unmasking ourselves. This is our own pride. There's three enemies, right? You, the devil, the world. We just blame the devil all the time. No, you chose that. The devil didn't even have to tempt you. You were all about it. The devil didn't even step into your house. You're the one sinning. Look at your own nature. Look at your own heart that is wicked. Who could ever know it? And then it says, God, who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I that you would even think about me? But he did more than that. He sent his son to die for you, his perfect son, his only son. So that way he could have you back in relationship because he loves you. And he wants you to know you don't have to earn it. He's already paid it all. It's paid for. You got to accept that gift. And once you get the gift, you got to give it out. You got to realize what it's for. You got to change from within. And then you got to tell a hurting world that must know this same gift. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to read you some scripture. Then we're going to have two potential altar calls. We're going to sing a song and we're going to go home. And I pray that we don't go unchanged. Because if we do, we didn't unmask anything. Let's put our mask right back on. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9. I want to expose something else as well. If you openly declare that Jesus is the Lord. Okay, when did it ever say, close your eyes, bow your head, be ashamed of what you're doing? That's also an American mindset. That we constantly are adhering to these people that might be worried. When in the first believers of the first church did they ever go, oh, I'm afraid of what I've done? No, they go to the streets and they call it out and they get stoned and beat, right? They were not ashamed. And the Bible says if you openly declare, not if you hide and bow and tell nobody, this is my little secret. Man, it's a lie of the enemy. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is, again, by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Side note, it says if you're not ashamed of Jesus to man, then he won't be ashamed of you to the Father. Verse 12, Jew and Gentile are all the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me, church? Two calls today. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to do any of that because that would be not openly declaring anything. If this is the first time you've ever accepted Christ, I want to tell you this first. I know it might be scary, might be nerve-wracking. The enemy or even your flesh is probably denying this right now, and you're trying to fight against it. But your spirit in you wants to be alive. It's dead because of the sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare with your mouth and you speak it out, you say, I want Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Live inside of me. When you do that, your spirit comes alive. And it says, if you worship him and follow Jesus, you will then go to heaven. It's not one prayer and done. That's where it begins. But you must confess with your mouth. You must openly declare that. If that's you today and you would like to accept Christ for the very first time in your life, I just want you to raise your hand. Or both hands so I can see you. Both hands. If there's anybody in here. Anybody out there as well. If that's you today, you could press a little emoji. Put a little hand up. Or you can say, that's me, or whatever you want to type. If that's you today. Or maybe you're on YouTube. You can write our church. Find us on firstopenbible.com. Write us on there and tell us, because I want to pray with you. I want to call you. I want to talk to you. And if you need a Bible, I want to get you one. Is there anybody in here today in this building that says, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ for the very first time? Raise your hands. Okay. That means one of two things in here, church. Either you're not ready for that commitment yet, which is all right. God knows. Listen to his spirit. Time will be right. Or all y'all are believers. It's wonderful. But now it's your call. Talked about a couple different things today about the American gospel mindset that we have sold our souls to. And we have not exposed it to the light. And I believe God is asking us today, like I said, repent. Ask for forgiveness, and that we want to go down the right track and realize it's not all about me. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. Everything points back to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We have nothing. But with Jesus, all things are possible. But not all things are beneficial for you. All things are possible for his kingdom. Our life should represent him and our life. So if that's you today and you believed in one of two things, you just sold out to this prosperity thing that's all about gaining selfish gain and all this stuff about you, and you're always wanting to be uplifted, like as if it's a TED talk and you just want uplifted on this thing and you want to hear this next greatest thing, or somebody's going to give you this self-motivating speech that has nothing to do with Jesus at all. Maybe you sold out to that, or maybe you sold out to what a lot of us we've been in church for a long time sold out to, and that is we believe that we have to keep on working, and then maybe God will love us. It's a lie, church. You can keep on grinding and God will love you. He finds you in the pit, and he finds you on top of the mountain. He loves you. You cannot earn anything more. If that's you today and you've believed in one of those, and you say, God, I need to regenerate my heart. I need forgiveness in my heart for what I've believed, and I need to get into your gospel and I need to read about it, self-sacrificing. If that's you today, will you just raise your hands as an international sign of surrender? There's hands going up. All kinds of hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Father, here we are, our hands raised. Our hearts bowed, and we ask God to forgive us of what we've made it. Jesus, you should be the center of all things. I know there's all kinds of people didn't raise their hand that should have, maybe because they didn't quite understand, but we've made life all about us instead of all about Christ. I think everybody in this room and anybody anywhere who's ever served Jesus has done that at some point. Forgive us, God. I know you'll never send a revival until we have a revival in us. And it will never happen if it doesn't happen through prayer and repentance. Forgive us, Lord, for what we've made it, as if we have done something special, as if we were needed, God, This is your story, and we get to be a part of it. Thank you for that. You're the hero of our life. We are not the heroes. You're the hero. Father, forgive us of what we've made it. Jesus, come back into our hearts again and make it new. Make us brand new. You cannot put new wine in these old wineskins. Make us new wineskins. Make us brand new. Holy Spirit, from the top of our fingertips to the bottom of our toes, right now I pray for the anointing and the power and the presence of God just to fill us and make us brand new. May we feel a new anointing, a new feeling of God right now, God, that it's all about you and not about me. Spirit of living God, come and burn a fire inside of us. Purify the things that don't look like you, sound like you, or even think like you. Let us be all about your kingdom. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world. Worthy is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. Worthy is King Jesus. May you reign in our hearts and our lives again. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And the ushers will usher you out from the back to the front. We love you. Can't wait to see you again. Do not let today go unnoticed. Worship the King.